but my courage failed me. There was a knock on the door before I could finish my sentence, and Calix called out for it to open.
Theron opened it. "Princess Danae?" he asked. "Yes," Calix said, his face lightening.
Danae came in and went to her brother. "I just returned," she said. "You wanted an immediate report." He drew in a sharp breath.
"You found it," he said,
his eyes gleaming. Danae shook her head. "We couldn't find it.
We found a lake. The Caesatori need further instructions if you want them to search other caverns."
She looked to me. "Shalia, we need your help." I hesitated. "It's sacred to us," I told her. "But it wasn't there?" She shook her head. "Calix, what else do you remember of the vision?" I asked. "Perhaps there's something we missed?" He shook his head.
"No. The vision spoke of a sacred body, a desert lake. It could not be describing anything else."
"Why didn't you tell me this, Calix?" I asked him. He didn't meet my gaze.
"Why didn't you tell us about the lake?" he said.
He turned to Danae.
"Were you able to drain it?"
"Drain it?" I gasped. He shot a glare at me. "No," she said. "It's not possible. There's nowhere for the water to go. And we mapped much of the bottom, but there are crags and outlets that we can't get into."
"Then take more men," he said. "Take the yellow powder and burst it open."
She shook her head. "That is neither safe nor possible, Calix. You can't burn the powder underwater. And it's as likely to collapse the whole place as to reveal the elixir." "You need an elementa," I told him, placing my hand on his arm. "Surely they would be able to feel something that interrupts their powers or tests that it's there?" He scoffed, pulling away from my hand.
"Why would one of them ever help me?"
"There are many people who don't seem to enjoy their powers," Danae said. "If you paid them well, offered them an opportunity to get rid of it, I could find someone who would help." He looked between us.
"Very clever. I find I like you two working together."
I smiled at Danae, but it was false.
"There was an elementa in pursuit of the elixir already, and perhaps Kata had little opportunity while Danae and the Caesatori were near.
But if it could be found, she would have it in hand already. And if it couldn't?"
"I didn't know how my husband would react to that."
"There's more," Danae said, and the smile died on my mouth. "You should come to the courtyard." Calix nodded sharply, striding toward the door without hesitation. I wasn't sure if I was meant to follow, if I was part of the intended you, but after a moment, I followed them. The courtyard was nearly restored. Half of it was filled with new white stone to cover what had been lost. But the work had halted, and the gate hung open to reveal 3 smears of blood. Uniformed guards were dragging 3 bodies inside, and they stopped when they reached Galen, who was standing in the courtyard. I covered my mouth. They were dead, their throats slit, executed.
3 of my soldiers,
Galen said, his face hard as he glared at Calix.
Tassos, Arius, and Megan.
He stressed the last name, and I didn't understand why. Tassos? I asked, looking at Calix. The spy from Rian's camp? Danae, too, seemed to recognize one of the names.
Calix, we need to discuss this,
Galen said.
Now. Get rid of them,
Calix ordered.
We can discuss this in my chambers. Galen nodded and turned to issue orders to his men. I couldn't look away, watching as the guards carried the bodies back toward the garrison until Dene turned me away from the scene, leading me back into the castle. No one said anything more until we were all back in our rooms, and Dene sat me beside the fireplace. I felt ill and too hot.
Megan Calix!
Galen snapped, his hands on his hips.
Tell me, Dene, which of those names was familiar to you?
I asked. Dene stood. Calix told me he had a spy in the Resistance named Arius, she said. I gasped, and Galen looked to me.
Your wife?
He growled, pointing to me as he glared at Calix. Calix shrugged.
You cannot break an enemy unless you understand the enemy,
he replied. I blinked rapidly. I don't understand what's going on, I insisted. Galen turned to me, the anger fading from his gaze, but the tension remaining.
You knew one of the names, didn't you?
He said. I looked from him to Calix, not wanting to betray something I shouldn't.
My guess is Calix told you that Tassos was a spy inside the Resistance. And he told me the spy's name was Megan. And he told Dene the spy's name was Arius.
I shook my head. Why?
Because he had three spies, Dene clarified. And if one of them was revealed, it would mean that we were feeding information to the Resistance. Meanwhile, the other two would be safe. However, in this instance, the Resistance seemed to have discovered all three at once and sent us a message.
This is a low move, even for you, Calix,
Dene said, crossing her arms and turning away from us. I looked at Calix. Is that true? I asked. Kairos had warned me of such, but it wasn't just me whom he distrusted. It was his siblings as well.
Do not look at me like that,
he growled at me,
like I have betrayed you in some fashion. I needed to be sure of your loyalty to me and not to your damn brother.
And were you worried about my loyalty, brother? Dene said. She wouldn't meet his eyes, and she sounded heartbroken.
All I knew was that we needed more information, and you hadn't delivered that yet.
Calix snapped at her.
You all have failed spectacularly at your jobs, and I took action. We are attacked at every turn, and my commander cannot counter it, and my spy cannot anticipate it.
I looked up at him. And your wife? I asked softly. What job have I failed at? He strode closer, leaning over me and pushing his hand against my womb.
You have failed at your only purpose, wife. Where is my child?
He growled. I felt fear rising in my throat, but refused to look away from him.
Why is your womb still cold? That is your sole value, and you cannot manage it. Calix,
snapped Galen. But Calix didn't tear his gaze from me, and I returned it, pressing back against the chair.
That Abydos girl is expecting, and I have dogs that display more robust signs of intelligence. Clearly conceiving can't be that hard, can it?
Why must you vent your rage on me, Calix? I asked him. None of this is my fault.
But Tassos is still dead, isn't he?
He said.
Perhaps that is your fault.
My heart pounded. I never told anyone about that, I lied.
The only way all three could have died at once is if we were not responsible,
Galen said.
Calix, you know that. Stop threatening your wife.
Calix straightened up. I looked to Galen, grateful, and despite how mild his words had sounded, his chest was rising and falling rapidly, and his face was etched with tightly leashed fury. He crossed his arms on his chest, the knuckles white as he gripped his biceps. "Then give me a solution," Calyx demanded. "We need reliable information about the resistance. All we know is that Rian is not the head that we can cut off. Today's attack will give the Vestai even more arrows to cast at my reign. Do something," he snapped.
Attack. I felt dizzy and tired and my head hurt. As Galen and Danae argued with their brother, I went out to the balcony, forgotten. The cold air helped, but I still did not want to return to the room and risk confessing that I was the traitor they were looking for, that I was responsible for the attack. All because I couldn't help the way I felt when Galen touched me. Instead, they would use this as a reason to continue to hunt my brother. Another crime to attribute to his cause. And I would let them. The silent, coward queen. No more fish. The next morning I woke alone. It was late in the morning already, and still I felt exhausted, the events of the day before weighing heavily on me. I woke and dressed, and found Theron outside my door, but Adria was absent. "Where is she?" I asked Theron, confused. "It's late."
"I'll send someone to fetch her, my queen."
I nodded. "She can meet us at the Eridium. They want me to approve of something for the Consecutio."
"Yes, my queen."
He sent another guard off to find her, but we hadn't even reached the gates before the guard returned.
"Report,"
Theron told him as the guard bowed.
"My queen, Domina Viato is with the king in the Great Hall."
That couldn't possibly be good news.
"On what business?"
"I don't know, my queen. The High Vestai Thessaly is with her."
I shot a look to Theron, and he nodded.
We turned back around, going into the castle to the hall where we had court dinners every night. Calyx still sat on the raised platform, Galen standing off his left shoulder. But now Thessaly and Adria were at the bottom of the stairs. Buried in a throng of people straining to hear, the Trivatis still saw me and slammed his staff on the stone to announce me, interrupting the proceedings and flushing heat to my face.
"Wife," Calyx said, standing, "come join us."
The people parted for me, and I climbed the stairs slowly, taking his hand. He kissed it, a shadow of Galen's action the day before, and it embarrassed me to remember the storm of emotions I'd felt at such a simple touch. I couldn't look at Galen. Calyx directed me to sit beside him, and he sat down.
"I believe you were insulting my honor and prowess as king," Calyx reminded Thessaly.
Thessaly's face was mottled with anger, and for her part, Adria looked uncomfortable beside him.
"Do not belittle my concerns, my king. My daughter could have died yesterday, and you do nothing."
My back straightened. Died? When? She had been with me all day. Surely... Oh, he meant in the courtyard, when the stone exploded into sand. Something they all thought was an attack. I saw Kairos standing in the crowd of people, and his eyes met mine with a smile and a slight nod.
"And the fact that you are so cavalier, not only about my daughter's safety, but about the queen's safety as well, is a blatant act of disrespect to the tenets of the three-faced god. Are our women not holy vessels? Are they not in need of protection and guidance? And yet this resistance strikes at your very heart and you do nothing. I demand a response. I demand satisfaction," he bellowed.
And the words seemed to echo on the stone walls. Calyx's face was a dark scowl.
"My king, might I offer a thought?"
Galen asked, stepping forward.
"Yes, commander,"
Calyx said.
"I was in the courtyard yesterday,"
Galen said, turning to look at Thessaly.
his face stern and disapproving, and his hands clasped behind his back.
Neither the Queen nor your daughter suffered any kind of injury. Indeed, half the army was there to protect them as necessary, and no action was needed. While I acknowledge your legitimate concern, let us not overestimate the nature of the events.
Quite, Calix agreed, propping his elbow on the arm of the chair.
But it does not remove the seriousness of the situation,
Thessaly insisted.
If the resistance can strike at us in the three castles, we are not safe anywhere. They have sorcerers on their side, and clearly they can use this destructive power anywhere and any time they wish.
This caused a cascade of murmurs and voices to rush through the hall, and Calix watched it all, not quelling it.
What will you do, my king?
Thessaly asked. Calix leaned forward.
What is it you wish me to do, Thessaly? Or in your rage have you just considered how to hurl accusations without a mind toward solutions?
Thessaly's gaze turned to me.
They say Rhiant Dragon is the leader of this resistance,
Thessaly said.
Perhaps you need to use the leverage you purchased and send a message.
I gasped, and Adria's head whipped to her father, but Calix chuckled.
You think attacking my wife is wise, Thessaly? She is the most holy of holy vessels. Besides, you are betraying your ignorance of the matter. Rhiant Dragon is not the leader of the resistance. So other than dangerous misinformation and egregious insult to my wife, what do you bring me for a solution?
Thessaly's gaze flicked between me and my husband.
I do not have a solution, my king, because I am not the three-faced god incarnate. Where is your solution?
Calix paused, a hint of a smile on his face. His gaze narrowed on Thessaly, appreciating the moment.
You do not have a solution because it is beyond your capability to judge, High Vestai,
he told him.
You and your daughter are here as fearmongers, but my people are not taken in by such antics.
He paused again, rubbing his mouth thoughtfully.
The god relies on his people to stand against such injustice and sin. Going forward, any of my people who have information about the resistance or a sorcerer in their midst will be rewarded in coin, he said.
Again, murmurs and gasps rose through the hall.
And my commander shall act accordingly. We will not submit to fear. Instead, we shall let true justice be our guide.
My gaze shot to Kairos. Rhiann had to be warned about this. He and all his organization would be at risk. Kairos nodded at me, turning and leaving the hall. Thessaly started to say something, but Calix stood.
Everyone is dismissed, he shouted.
The guards sprang into action, shepherding people out of the hall, and Calix sat back down to watch them leave. Galen didn't move, and so I stayed still, watching as Adria gave me a forlorn look over her shoulder. The moment the doors shut behind them, Calix sighed.
I don't want to hear it, brother. Clearly,
Galen said stiffly.
Not an hour ago you agreed that plan would tear the city apart, and now you've just publicly enacted it, without consulting me.
Calix stood, turning to his brother.
Because I'm king. I don't need to consult you. I swear, I will find a reason to divorce that man's tongue from his head. Using his daughter as a way to come at me, and my wife.
But, Calix, people will be falsifying information for money, I told him. Instead of peace, you're going to have civil unrest. Calix glared at me.
He's not wrong, you know. Think of what a reaction I would have if I flung your lifeless body off the battlements for your brother to see.
My stomach turned that he could even threaten such a thing so easily, and moments after he had defended me. Don't speak to me of Rian. He left the desert when I was a child for this resistance. I lost him years ago. And I have left my family behind for peace between our peoples, in spite of him.
Good, he snapped. But still, he needs to remember that we have you, and I will do with you what I want to stop him. They will collect information in the courtyard. You will be there for everyone to see, for everyone to be reminded where my queen stands.
As you wish, I said, raising my chin. But if I'm going to be there, the rest of the women of the court will be with me. He opened his mouth, yet I continued. And we're going to give away as much food as we can purchase or spare. I won't have our people desperate and hungry.
Fine, he snapped. Whatever you see fit.
His gaze flicked to Galen.
See that the queen does as she's told.
Galen didn't respond. I stood from my chair and walked slowly down the stairs. Galen followed.
Wife,
Calix snarled, and I turned.
Don't forget to wear your crown.
I swallowed. As you wish, Calix. Galen and Theron trailed me in silence back to my chambers, where the Ishru helped affix the crown to my hair. It was light, but I still felt the awkward weight of it on my brow, blotting out my face and my skin and my family, until all they would see were three silver branches. Once the orders had been given to the palace cooks, storekeepers, and women of the court, we assembled in the courtyard. Adria was there, looking small and ashamed, her mother by her side with her arm around her. I waved Galen and Theron away from me. I was here, and I didn't need them by my side in a courtyard that was full of guards. The women of the court all watched as I approached Adria. Go, I ordered them. See that everything is set up to feed our people. The women scattered at this, still looking over their shoulders to see how I would react to Adria. Domina Thessaly didn't say anything, but she was looking at me with such worry on her face. How could you do that? I asked Adria, my voice quiet and low enough that the others couldn't hear. I kept my face as even as I could, but I couldn't help looking at her with an accusation in my heart. I didn't want to, Adria told me miserably. I didn't know he would say those things about you. He doesn't really believe them, I swear it. My throat worked, and my chin rose higher. Calix would rebuke her, loudly call out her disloyalty and dismiss her from service. He would use this excuse to get what he had always wanted. And in that moment, I saw the temptation of it. I could taste how sweet the words spoken in anger would be in my mouth. I thought of Calix making me apologize to him months ago, leaning his face close to mine and saying, "That is power." My queen, please, Adria continued. Stop, I said, holding up my hand. I would never believe in Calix's brand of power. I'm sorry that I was so concerned with myself yesterday, that I didn't consider how you were faring. I cannot hold you responsible for your father's actions. Do you wish to keep attending me? She looked up at me, surprised. Yes, my queen. Good, I said. Then let us focus on our people and their needs. We have so much to do, and no time for any petty thoughts. I held out my hand to her, and she took it, squeezing it with a grateful look. I brought her over to the table where women were cutting and arranging bread, and let her stand beside me. I felt the weight of someone else's eyes, and I looked up and across the courtyard to find Galen's warm gaze following me. He gave a judicious nod when our eyes met, and turned away, calling for the gates to be opened. Hundreds of people came to inform on their friends and neighbors. The bread disappeared, and more bread, cured meat, and cheese replaced it. Kairos came, working beside us and teasing the women, laughing with the guards. Another did dragon conspicuously in the king's courtyard, doing his bidding, showing where we stood.
But Osmost wasn't on his shoulder.
And I was certain that the hawk was carrying a warning to the one dragon we were supposedly standing against.
I think you should sit,
Kai said.
It was late afternoon, and the line was only growing longer with more people for us to offer food to as they waited to tell their tales for a coin. Adria nodded at this.
You do look tired, she said, and I thought you rather liked hard work.
I do, I told her, so I will continue.
You haven't eaten, she said.
Why don't you rest, and I'll get you something to eat,
Kairos said.
I'm not hungry, I told him, and I don't really understand your concern.
I don't think it would do very well for the queen to faint in the middle of all this,
Kairos told me, raising an eyebrow. Perhaps he had something he needed to tell me?
Very well, I told him, and he led me over to a stool. The moment I sat, I sighed heavily. I was tired. I pressed my hand to my stomach. It seemed a sad reflection on how little I did every day, that a few hours on my feet handing out bread could exhaust me. The cook was bringing out a huge vat of stew, and Kai waited for her to set it up before requesting a bowl. I couldn't hear what was said, but I saw the cook smile and angle her spoon at Kairos until he laughed. My brother, ever the charmer. He brought it over to me, but I smelled it a foot away and stood up. He halted, looking at me curiously.
Skies, that's the fish, isn't it? I asked.
He looked at it.
Yes. Has it offended you? I think it already lost its head, but I'm sure we can cook up some kind of revenge.
He grinned.
Cook up?
He repeated with a wink. I backed away, but it was like the smell was a thick physical presence in my nostrils, clawing down my throat. Oh! I cried, and barely made it to the edge of the courtyard, the grassy patch that led down toward the garden and the ocean, before my stomach retched up its meager contents. Kairos was beside me, twisting my hair back and holding my crown steady.
Very well, he said. No more fish.
My stomach heaved again, but nothing came up.
Water, he called.
And I heard someone offer it to him. I straightened up, and he let my hair go to rub my back, passing me a skin of water. I drank a little, but it made my stomach feel tight and angry, and I passed it back to him, shaking my head. I turned around. Adria and Kairos were there, but the guards had formed a blockade around us, their backs to me, affording me some strange level of privacy.
Here, Adria offered, handing me a piece of bread. Try that.
My mother said that's all she could eat with Arrow.
I didn't take it.
Arrow? I repeated.
Skies above! She thought I was with child, but I couldn't be. I had last bled. Months ago, I realized. I had been exhausted for days. My mother had been so tired with Gavin, especially for the first few months. My head was pounding. Skies, I breathed. I think I need to sit for a minute.
Yes, we established that,
Kai told me.
Theron, bring that stool here.
A moment later, it materialized and I sat. Kairos stayed right beside me, handing me first the water and then the bread.
Try to eat something, he said, and then we'll get you back to your chambers to rest.
I nodded, nibbling at the bread. I looked up. What a scene this must be causing, I said, shaking my head.
I think it's the best sort of scene, Adria said with a smile. The king will be beside himself. My queen, you're with child.
People heard her, and the murmuring voices around us started to pitch to yells.
I searched the soldiers' backs, thinking of Galen.
It was difficult to tell, but I was nearly certain he wasn't one of the men standing there.
Admonishing myself, I shut my eyes.
I was expecting his brother's child. I couldn't think of Galen anymore.
Not that I ever truly could.
When I finished the piece of bread, I stood, and Kairos put his arm around me.
Easy,
he told me. I flapped my hand. Skies! Mother could walk for days in the hot sun when her belly was heavy with child, I told him. I'm fine. I just needed a moment to rest.
Please, let us pass,
I said to the guards.
My queen, Adria started.
The guards separated, and I instantly felt the weight of hundreds of eyes upon me. I took a deep breath, smiling at the gathered crowds. And they leaped forward, shouting, calling my name and offering me congratulations, blessings, praisings of the god. I jumped back, and the guards immediately fended them off.
You're going to start a riot,
Galen told me. He put his arm on my back, steering me up the walkway, as Kairos and Theron blocked people from following us. Thank you, I told him, glancing back over my shoulder to see people pushing at the guards for my attention. And more than that, the line of informants that stretched down the road and into the city itself. Where's Calix now? I asked.
In the tower,
he told me, glancing up.
I'll call for him.
Nonsense, I said. Take me to him.
It's a few flights of stairs,
he warned. I waved my hand. This is important. Galen led me inside to the central tower of the main castle. I'd never been in it before.
I'd been told there were battlements and barracks, that it was largely a soldier's post, not unlike the Oculus and the communes.
So it's true, then?
He asked.
You're with child.
We started up a staircase with a soldier always in sight. I believe so, I told him. His face was stern.
Almost as if he threatened it into existence.
I raised my chin as we turned up another stair. Yes, well, none of that matters now, I told him.
It doesn't?
He asked. His voice was low, careful, but he said,
I could have killed him for saying those things to you.
This made fire burn in my cheeks, but I ignored it. All along he has wanted a child. A child will make him more powerful with the Vestai. It will prove the prophecy wrong, and I know he hopes that it will at least quell some of the violence from the resistance.
He said it himself. Rian the Dragon isn't the leader of the resistance,
Galen told me, turning another corner.
Why should it matter?
If it didn't matter, why did he marry me? I returned. Once he knows about the baby, he'll stop all this information gathering that's threatening to turn the city against itself. It isn't necessary, and it actively threatens the peace. He stopped me.
Shalia, what if he doesn't want peace?
He asked. He does, I insisted. That's what all of this has been for. That's why I married him.
Perhaps it would not serve your purposes, Commander,
but Calix believes in peace. He blinked, leaning away from me. I sighed. That wasn't fair. Galen wasn't some kind of warmonger. From what I could tell, he spent far more of his time trying to lessen the harm of Calix's orders. I opened my mouth to say so, but he said,
Peace is a noble goal. But there is a difference between peace and submission.
I started up the stairs again. Of course there was a difference. Calyx wanted peace. We had discussed it many times. In his worst moments, he acted out of fear and anger, but he wanted peace. And this child would be a balm to those fears. This child would give him the ability to act for peace alone. We didn't say anything further, even as I felt Galen's watchful gaze on me. We crested a platform, and Galen headed toward a door that was flanked by guards. The guards opened the door when they saw us, revealing Calyx bent over a table layered with maps and documents. He straightened with a frown.
"Wife?" he asked. "What's wrong?"
"Nothing," I said, smiling. "I have good news, actually." His eyebrows rose.
"I like good news."
"I couldn't eat fish," I told him. He looked confused. "Not that I've ever been fond of it, but when I smelled it, I felt so ill that I was sick, and I've been so tired lately, and it's been several months since I bled." He strode around the table, catching me in his arms with a bright smile.
"You're with child? Are you sure?"
I laughed. "I think so. As sure as I can be, I suppose." He kissed me.
"Oh, wife, this is the most incredible news," he said, holding me tight to him.
I closed my eyes for a moment, letting warmth rush through me.
"There was nearly a riot in the courtyard when they realized why she was ill,"
Galen told him. Calyx kissed my temple.
"Of course there was. Our people need this hope. Galen, we'll have to plan a grand tour. The whole country will want to see my wife carrying my son."
Galen nodded to him, and Calyx stroked my cheek.
"Does that please you, wife?"
"I'm happy to do whatever you two think is best," I told him. He kissed me once more and let me go, pointing to Galen.
"We'll need a whole chest full of jewels," he said, "and clothing and furs, whatever my wife desires. It will be a glorious spectacle."
Galen nodded.
"I'll see that it's done. Make sure the whole court knows by tonight,"
Calyx said.
"That won't be a problem. Every woman in the court has already heard,"
Galen said. "Calyx, what about the informants?" I asked. He turned to me, confused. "You'll stop collecting information now, won't you?" He crossed his arms.
"Well, no," he said.
I looked at Galen, but he avoided my gaze.
"I cannot just reverse an order I gave this morning. Not only would it be damaging to my reign, it would be disrespectful to Thessaly. This was an answer he called for. It isn't as simple as stopping."
"But you won't act on it," I insisted.
"You won't do anything with the information you collect, right? Whether it's persecuting the Elemente or targeting the Resistance.
You don't need to do that anymore." His gaze narrowed.
"You think I'm persecuting them?"
"Calyx," I said, coming closer to him and tugging his hand. "This child proves that you'll have an heir, and the prophecy is merely the prattle of some misguided fool. I just want to make sure you're not resorting to violence when you don't have to. Not when we're starting a new age of peace." He drew a long breath, but his fingers entwined with mine, and he lifted my hand for a kiss.
"How can I argue with that?"
he said.
"Very well. We won't act on the information. We'll keep collecting it for a few days, if only so people can have their coin."
I nodded, but it didn't feel right, not after Calyx's rabid need to get information on the Resistance. In agreeing, he was silencing my concerns. But could I trust him not to act on the information? He pulled me close for another kiss.
"Why don't you go rest?" he said. "I'm sure dinner will be a theater of supplicants tonight, so you may want to prepare for it."
I shrugged. I was tired. Very well, I told him.
I'll escort you,
Galen offered.
No, Galen, we have far too much to do,
Kalex said.
Unless you need an escort, my love.
I shook my head, even as Galen frowned at his brother. I was only halfway down the staircases when I heard voices and saw Kairos making a guard bend with laughter. Grinning, I joined them. Oh, Kairos, I said, shaking my head. He chuckled, putting an arm around my shoulders and kissing my cheek. He nodded to the guard and led me away.
How did he take it? Is he building a white stone sculpture in your image?
I elbowed him. He's very happy.
And you, little sister?
He asked.
Are you happy?
I smiled. Of course. I can't wait to be a mother. A sudden realization made joy bubble up inside me. And we'll have to bring the baby to the desert to be blessed. Kai, we'll get to see everyone.
See them?
He scoffed.
Father's going to be so smitten with his grandbaby, he'll probably give up the desert altogether. The whole De Dragon clan will have to leave the desert for the Trifectate.
I laughed happily at the vision. That was truly what peace meant. Not just the day when my brothers would stop dying at my husband's sword, but the day when they would all be welcomed in the Tri-City. When everyone gathered around my child, working together to make a better world so that he or she could inhabit it.
And when we go to the desert,
he said, hugging my shoulders gleefully,
the clans will celebrate until the mountains shake.
Foolishness.
Absolutely not,
Kalex said. Rather than attend court dinner, Kalex insisted we stay in our reception chamber so that the court could come to us.
Go to the desert with my unborn child? No, never.
It's tradition, I told him. The baby needs to be blessed in the desert, or it won't be healthy and strong. I could even show you the lake, and we could look for the elixir.
He waved his hand. Foolishness. Trifectate babies are perfectly healthy without setting foot in the desert. It's unnecessary.
It's necessary to me, I told him. The whole clan gathers, and there are songs and dances, light and love. I want my family to bless the baby, Kalex. I want that for my child.
Your family is here,
he told me.
Now, we must speak of more important things. I'm sure we should wait for the tour until your belly grows. Everyone will want to see my child growing in truth.
His hand covered my stomach, warm and gentle.
I wonder how long that will be.
Not long, I said. I haven't bled for more than 2 months. He nodded, pleased.
Excellent. We will tour you around the country as soon as arrangements can be made.
What about the Consecutio? They are eager for us to attend. He lifted an unrepentant shoulder.
They will manage their disappointment. It's not nearly as important as allowing the country to fawn over you.
He kissed my forehead.
My precious wife, he said.
He grinned.
Wait until you see the jewels I've commissioned.
I shook my head. I don't need any of that. I just want to go to the desert, Kalex. Let my family come and bless the child. It will be good luck. I tugged his hand. Please, we needn't go into the desert. They could all gather in Jitra and meet us. He kissed me again.
No,
he said, smiling at me. Zeph opened the door.
My queen, there are Vestai who wish to pay their respects,
he told me.
Send them in, Kalex crowed.
2 men entered, bowing low.
My queen, we came to offer gifts for you and your child.
one said. He handed me a basket of strange, brightly colored fruit.
These were brought from my estates in the south,
he told me.
Only the most delicious food for the future king.
Calyx beamed at this.
A necklace, my queen,
said the other man, holding a stone as green as Galen's eyes on a leather cord. Calyx took it in delight, lifting it from the tiny wooden chest it was in to string it around my neck.
Lovely,
Calyx told me.
A stunning jewel for my own priceless gem. Vestai, you please me.
They bowed at this.
Thank you, my king.
Calyx grinned as they heaped honors upon him. I smiled and sat there, while courtiers kept coming with gifts that seemed to have materialized out of the air. Or maybe not. Maybe they had all been waiting for this, for the child who would change everything. While courtiers fawned over Calyx far more than they did me, I took a moment to go out to the balcony. The wind was strong, and I found myself staring at the narrow bridges that connected the castle to Galen and Danae. I couldn't see any activity at Danae's castle, but I wasn't sure if she had left to return to the desert yet. When I turned to the other bridge, Galen was standing on his balcony, glancing over my shoulder to see Calyx still quite occupied. I went toward Galen's side. The bridge reminded me of the one I was married upon in Jitra. It was white stone and a little wider, but it didn't have sides or handholds of any kind. Taking a breath, I stepped up onto it, walking a few feet forward. The wind pushed me so hard I swayed and I froze, looking down the hundreds of feet to the churning ocean water.
Shalia!
Galen called, seeing me. He didn't hesitate, striding across the bridge, his hand meeting my waist and gently pushing me back.
It's not safe up here. Certainly not in your condition.
I stepped onto the balcony, and his hands left me as he glanced at the large windows. You must be aching to remind me you were right, I told him. About the information. That he doesn't want peace at all. He wants submission.
Maybe I wasn't, he said,
but his eyes moved away from mine.
He said he won't pursue the information.
But he still has it,
I said.
It seems like a very careful distinction.
You are queen,
he told me.
Your life is full of careful distinctions.
It almost felt like an encouragement, and my mouth lifted a little. You be an uncle, I said, looking at him. His shoulders curled forward a little, his head inclined, and when he looked at me, it was with such sharp pain that I felt it inside my chest.
Yes,
he said. Galen, I breathed, raising my hand toward him, but there was nothing I could say or do.
I should just leave,
he told me, his voice soft, the wind pulling the sound away as it ruffled through his dark hair.
But I can't just leave. I can't leave you here with him. I can't leave the city to his caprices.
My mouth was dry. Galen, I whispered. He stepped forward and kissed my cheek, his mouth hovering there, warming my skin, making my whole body tingle and throb.
I have nothing, Shalia. Nothing of worth to make promises. And maybe I can't even keep such a promise. But I will protect you and your children. I'll protect you until I die.
In my heart, I knew what he was speaking of. I knew why he should leave, why I shouldn't say his name or touch him or fight with him. Like the power I wanted to hide, the way he made me feel hovered just beneath the surface, stronger for having never seen the light. I don't want protection. He pulled away and his green eyes met mine.
That's all I have. That's all I am.
I stared at him so long, my world drowned in green. That's not all you are, Galen. The corner of his mouth turned up, but the ghost of a smile held no amusement.
You don't really know me.
I crossed my arms around myself, nodded. Good, I said, shutting my eyes.
Good?
He asked, his voice too close.
I kept my eyes closed, desperate to open them, to move closer, to run my fingers over the scars on his face.
Yes, it's easier to think that I don't know who you are at all, that I'm imagining this.
Maybe I'll try that,
he said, his voice low and heavy.
He was still two steps away, but I felt him, everywhere, close to me, hovering just beyond my skin, calling my power up and making it shiver to be unleashed. Ha-ha! Calix shouted, and I jumped, turning as he closed the balcony door behind him. Galen, are you hoarding my wife? He said, striding up to me and putting his arms around me from behind. His hands fanned over my stomach, his lips touched my cheek, and I shut my eyes rather than look at Galen while Calix touched me.
Forgive me, brother. Most of the court has lined up to see us, wife. Galen, come in and take note of who isn't there.
I'll stay out here, I told them. A few minutes longer. Calix kissed my hand.
Are you all right?
I nodded. I feel a little ill. The fresh air helps.
He kissed my mouth, nodding and relinquishing my hand.
I watched them walk in together, and I turned away, looking for solace and finding only the endlessness of blue sea. The world spun upside down. I didn't sleep well that night. I woke early, hiding the comb in my pocket, eager to go to the garden and practice my power. I bent every tooth of the comb forward and back, even focusing enough to lift the comb off my hand. But it wasn't enough. In the garden, I moved the stone bench. I raked my power through the ground and tore up small rocks, large rocks, tiny flecks of minerals. It was never enough. I had everything I had been hoping for, a child, and a tenuous grasp on peace that was slowly becoming stronger. My husband would finally lay down his arms. My power still felt desperate, something wild that was artificially pinned down and aching to be freed. And it never felt more wild and desperate than when I was with Galen, when he looked at me and touched me and said the things that I spent hours turning over in my mind. I was so close to everything I wanted, and it felt like I would never possibly be happy. I walked the garden twice over, but I still couldn't shake the feeling. Zeph and Theron both came with me to the Eridium that day, and when Adria and I walked outside the castle, I saw a carriage waiting for me. We will walk, I said, directing an imperious stare at Adria.
It wasn't me, she said quickly.
My lady, the news of your condition has spread throughout the city. The people are overjoyed for you, and I just want to ensure your safety. Crowds can be dangerous,
Zeph told me. I lifted my head. Then you will protect me as you so ably do, but I will not take a carriage.
My lady,
Zeph started. Zeph, I interrupted, stepping closer to him and speaking softly. The carriage makes me ill, I admitted. And my stomach is uneasy already.
Oh,
he said. He crossed his arms over his big chest.
How about a horse, then?
I nodded. A horse I can manage.
Theron, he shouted. Horses!
Both guards fussed over me as I mounted the horse, as if I would suddenly tumble from the creature's back and shatter like an egg. I scowled at them both. and they mounted their own horses when they were satisfied I was safe. It was a wonder it didn't take them tying me to the saddle.
Theron will go first,
Zeph told me,
and I'll be behind you with Adria. You must keep going, no matter what, and keep pace with him, yes?
I nodded. Yes? He nodded once.
Good. After you, my queen.
Theron started riding, and I followed him at a quick canter. The guards opened the gates, and my heart soared as I saw flowers lining the walkway, and then people at the bottom of the slope. At the sight of me, they started cheering, and people started pressing in toward us. I didn't even know where people were coming from, but it seemed they were multiplying.
Faster,
I heard Zeph say behind me, and Theron sped up. The people parted for us, and we sailed through. They blurred around me, hands waving and reaching out for me. I felt them touching me and spurred my horse. The crowd dimmed away from the castle, but it never dissolved completely. When we arrived at the Eridium, the children were all gathered on the front steps, and they cheered and clapped for me. People from the city flooded in behind us, and the young men sprang into action, running into a formation to block the others so I could come in. I dismounted, and the children rushed around me, pulling at me and hugging and touching me.
Back!
Zeph growled, sweeping an arm out to clear the children. They gasped and leaped out of the way.
Is this how the Eridium conducts itself?
This seemed to mean something to the children, and they all went back to the steps, standing in formation to welcome me.
We have a very special day planned for you, Tri-Queen, the preceptor told me.
She gestured me forward, and I drew my back up straight, going inside. When we left, we faced the smaller crowd, still calling to me, waving at me, praising and blessing me and my baby, but not so many that I was frightened. Zeph didn't even insist we ride fast or in any formation, but he and Theron stayed by my side, watchful. Our route to the Tri-Castles wound mostly along the coast, where the road was wide, and it seemed to be traveled more by merchants and wealthy women than the common people. But there was a small stretch where the road narrowed and went by the edge of the maze, a tight warren of houses in the center of the city. We had just turned the corner where the road shrank, and we could hear shouts and yelling coming from an alley.
My queen, we should...
Zeph started. Theron, would you see what's going on? I asked him. A scream rang out, and I paled. Theron, please. Zeph can stay with me. Zeph nodded his agreement, drawing his sword and circling his horse in front of me and Adria, as Theron dismounted and entered the alley. I watched him for a moment, and when I blinked in the sun, I couldn't see him anymore. Adria made a whimpering noise. The ground shivered, and I clasped my hands, for a moment thinking I had caused it. As soon as I realized it wasn't me, I looked at Zeph.
Ride!
He roared at me. I jerked the reins to the side, and my horse jumped into action, only to rear and stop so short I nearly fell as black uniforms flooded to one side and the river of commoners came in from the other. I heard Adria scream and tried to wheel around to look for her, but an arm wrapped around my waist, and I screamed too as I was pulled from my saddle.
My queen,
Zeph shouted in my ear, and I stopped yelling. He dragged me back against the building, crowding me behind them and yanking Adria's wrist. He tossed her behind me and turned, sword drawn, ready to defend me. But they weren't there for me. The horses bolted, and I could see the fighting. The uniformed, trifected soldiers were hammering the common men, and it was brutal and bloody.
What's going on?
Adria yelled, crying on my back.
Stay down,
Zeph yelled. My stomach dropped. The wind kicked up, and the soldiers fought harder, cutting down the commoners and executing them in the streets. I watched one soldier, not far from us, slash a man.